And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. Hey, my name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom, as well as your information flow, as well as everything that I can help you with to help you understand that what you're doing for your future, it may not be working. Yeah, you may be on a path that you think is going to work for you. You're taking money out of your income. You're diverting it before it even gets to your checking account or your savings account. And it's going into a different account, which is technically a savings account, although you probably call it a retirement account because it probably has the word retirement in its nomenclature, right? It might be a individual retirement account, an IRA, right? Or it might be a 401k, which is effectively a retirement account, right? Okay, let's peel back the onion on those retirement accounts. You want to do that? Or is that something you don't want to mess with? Now, I'm sure that I've got both types of people listening to me today. I'm convinced of it. And here's why I'm convinced of it. Some of you want me to rip off the Band-Aid, peel the skin off the onion, if you will. Some of you, you don't want to hear it. You're convinced that what you're doing is going to get you to a place of retirement somewhere in your future. You're locked in to whatever retirement plan you're on. You're diverting money. It's going into an account that allows you to buy fractional shares in mutual funds or fractional shares of stocks, or maybe whole shares of stocks, depending on what kind of stocks you're buying, what kind of mutual funds you're buying, right? And all of those holdings effectively sit in your account, right? Okay, here's the first problem. What are you invested in? Go ahead, answer the question. What are you invested in? Now, I'm going to stop you right there. Don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to stop you right there because I want to save you from yourself. I don't want you to regurgitate to me what your financial planner told you is the proper methodology for you to achieve retirement. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear what companies you're invested in, how much money you have invested in those companies, and if those companies support your ideals, your morals, your values, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, again, I've got two types of people listening to me. Some that are okay with me ripping this Band-Aid off. Some of you don't want to hear it because you're convinced that what you're doing is the right thing to do. Well, this might shock you, but I'm not going to try and change your mind. I'm not. And here's why I'm not going to try and do it. I don't think I need to. That's kind of weird, huh, that I said that I don't think I need to change your mind. And here's why. Here's why I think that. I think that if you're convinced in your mind that you're doing the right thing, that you're willing to reject any other arguments that may be contrary to what you think is right, I think you're closed-minded. I do. I think you have wrapped your arms around a solution that you think is going to work for you, And you don't want to be told that you're wrong. Kind of hurts, doesn't it? Hurts to hear that, doesn't it? Now, let me tell you why I can say that with such confidence. I'm one of those guys, believe it or not, I actually have a pretty big ego. I do. I always want to be right. I don't like to be wrong. I like to be right. And when I find out that I'm wrong, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. It cuts me deep. So I work expeditiously on trying to get things right. Now, I will tell you, in my lifetime, I have failed to get everything absolutely right. I did. I have failed to get everything absolutely right. As much as I tried to be absolutely correct, I wasn't always absolutely correct. Retirement, for instance. Now, what you're doing for retirement right now is different than what I did for retirement, unless you were following the exact same glide path that I followed. So let's be very clear about that. You're taking money, you're putting it into an IRA, a 401k, or some other qualified government endorsed and sponsored retirement plan. All that money goes in there. You're not allowed to touch it. Any gains that you make have to stay in that fund. You're not allowed to touch it. And if you touch it, you're going to be taxed unless you already paid the taxes going into it. And unless you're 59 and a half, you get to pay an additional 10% penalty, which is just another tax on the money withdrawn. I don't know, probably half of you listening to me agree that there's a better way to achieve retirement. The other half of you, you think I'm full of it. You do. You're like, dude, stop talking. I'm about ready to turn the channel. Don't turn the channel. But I'm about ready to turn the channel, but don't do it. And here's why. I'm no different than you. I am not any different than you. Here's why. When I was a young man, I looked at something called retirement. I looked at it when I was in my 20s. And it was hard for me to wrap my head around, because retirement was something that everybody did when they were really old. Everybody at my age at that time, in my 20s, they were all graduating from college or extending their college visits, or they were getting into the workforce, or they were, you know, doing whatever they could do to make some money. Because when you enter into the workforce out of college, for the majority of Americans, not for the really wealthy people that are out there, but for the typical American that's born with a plastic spoon in their mouth, just like I was, the first time you make money is when you get that job out of college. Now, you probably were working jobs in high school and maybe working jobs to help pay for college. And I know some of you didn't even do the college thing. I get that. So you just got into the workforce a little bit quicker. The first time you start making substantial money is when you take a substantial job. Now, my first job, I got at the age, I was like maybe 13 or 14, and I was a paper boy. Yeah, I was a paper boy. I had two different paper routes for two different companies. I had a morning paper route for something called the Valley Times in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's who I delivered for in the morning. And I had a territory, and I delivered, I don't know, about 40 or 50 papers in that territory every morning. And then I had an afternoon territory with a different company. It was the Las Vegas Review Journal. Now, the Valley Times is no longer in business. I did some research because I was curious, and I found out they went out of business in 2013. But the Review Journal is still publishing, so they're still around. And I used to deliver their papers in the afternoon. And then when I turned almost 16, I applied for a job, an actual go to a place, work at that place, leave that place, and after a couple weeks, I'd get my first check. And my first real job was in fast food. Yeah, I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yes. And no, I don't know the 11 secret ingredients. They don't teach you that when you're an employee at KFC. No, they don't teach you that. So I never learned it. But I was good at my job. I was diligent at my job. I used that job during high school so that I could buy a car, so that I had transportation to do the things that I wanted to do, which was work, go to school, and participate in extracurricular activities. For me, it was like swimming. I was big into swimming. That was my sport. So I swam a lot. So that car got me to the pool and back. Yeah, that's how I rolled. Now, back in those days, if you told me about retirement, I would have said, what's that? That's for old people. I mean, that was my mindset. So then I get into that first real job after college. And for me, it was self-employment. Now, many of you don't know this about me, and I'll just go ahead and tell you this about me because I think you ought to know. The only way I was able to go to school, to college, because I couldn't afford to go to college, especially not the school that I went to. I went to a private college in California known as the University of Southern California. Yeah, I'm a graduate. Earned my business administration degree with a marketing emphasis, and the United States Army paid for that education. I didn't have the money to pay for school. The United States Army paid for it for me. And the condition was that I would serve in the United States military after graduation. So took the scholarship, did ROTC as part of my college experience. And when I graduated from college in 1986, I was commissioned subsequently as a second lieutenant in the United States Army. Now, I was supposed to go on active duty, but at that time, the Army was doing some things where they had made some decisions about who they had selected to go on active duty and who they just decided would go in reserve duty. And they determined that they'd selected too much of one kind of person and not enough of another kind of person. That stuff was going on back then, too. Now, I was in that group that was part of you selected too many of these people. So they went through and they rebalanced. What does that mean? It means that the Army came back to me literally as I was about ready to graduate in commission and said, Al, you're supposed to go on active duty. However, we're going to give you an opportunity to go into the reserves, to do reserve duty. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, this is kind of interesting. You just paid for 4 years of my college education specifically for me to go on active duty and serve on active duty for at least 6 years to repay. Actually, I think the contract back then was, it was an 8-year contract. You agreed to serve 6 years in an active status, of which the first 4 years were on active duty. The next 2 years could be on active duty or in the reserve component. And then the next 2 years after that could be in either of those two or in what's called the individual ready reserve, which is really you're just a name in a database. You don't actually do much as far as being a guy in the Army. And I thought to myself, you know, they're giving me an opportunity to do something a little different than what I thought I was going to do. They're giving me an opportunity to go out and make my own way in life. So you know what I did? I took the reserve option. I did. I took the reserve option and I found myself a citizen soldier the day after I graduated. I was assigned to the reserve component of the United States Army, which meant that my obligation was to serve 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks in the summer, and I had to do that for 6 years. And at the end of 6 years, I could decide whether I wanted to stay or go. And I thought, man, have I just gotten over on the Army? I got all this education paid for, and I don't even have to work for the guys except for part-time. So you know what I did? I went back home to Las Vegas, Nevada, because that's where I was born and raised, moved in with my dad, and I said, hey, Dad, I'm unemployed. And he went, you got to be kidding me. And I went, no, I'm not kidding you. He's like, and you can see the look on his face. Think about that look. We'll be back right after this.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Looking for a smarter way to build income?
Lifestyles Unlimited teaches real estate investing strategies designed to help you take control of your future. Text radio to 88007. Radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, my name is Al Gordon. You're listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And what I'm doing is I'm helping you with your information flow about your financial freedom. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? Yeah. And I'm doing so by dumping a bunch of my back history on your floor. Yeah. What I'm trying to share with you is the fact that there's two types of people listening to me. There are people that agree that maybe what they're doing for retirement currently is flawed. They've been listening to the show. They listen to my arguments and they're kind of thinking the way I think, which is there's a different way to do this. Now, the other half you're like, dude, shut up. I've got this locked in. And I'm not saying you don't have it locked in. There are people that achieve retirement doing exactly what you're doing every year. Every year it happens. People make it. But the problem is this. It's not 100%. Not 100% of everybody makes it. Now, what's the percentage that makes it? Is that really important? I mean, I could give you the stat, but is that really important? I think what's important is to focus on the people that don't make it, or the people that make it only to find out as they're living their retirement plan, they're outliving their money, which is a completely different problem. a problem you probably do not want to address in your golden years. That's why I'm pointing this out to you. Up until this point, I have let you know that I did things a little bit differently than everybody else. I decided that my path to financial freedom was going to be to go to school, get good grades, get into college, get good grades, get into the workforce, and make my way and become uber wealthy, right? Well, that's not how it worked out for me. No, I told you my path up until graduation from college. And when I graduated from college, I was effectively unemployed. Now, technically, I had a part-time job at the United States Army, but that wasn't enough income to pay whatever bills that I was about ready to face. Now, I was able to move back in with my dad, so that saved me some money, but gosh, that put a burden on him because now there's somebody else in the household he's got to fend for, right? And he probably was figuring that his, 22-year-old son would be on his own by now. So what did I do? Well, I bought a restaurant with a buddy of mine. He had an opportunity to buy it. I thought it was a good idea, so I became self-employed. And I worked in that business for a good year and a half, working 16-hour days, 7 days a week, because that's what it took to turn that business around. And then the Army came calling. Yeah, the Army. And you're thinking, wait a minute, dude, you own a restaurant, you're doing this thing with the restaurant, you're working your butt off. How does the Army play into this thing? Well, remember, I had a part-time gig with the Army, except that part-time gig came with a full-time element to it. And that element was I had to go to school. I had to go to a United States Army school for 4 months to be trained as to what my duties and responsibilities would be when I became a second lieutenant in the United States Army, which technically I already was. I just wasn't trained on what I needed to do. So I had to go away from that job. It was technically a job. I was self-employed, but I bought myself a job. I had to leave for 4 months to go away to school. So I did. I went to Fort Lee, Virginia. I went in the middle of winter, came back just before summer got too hot, only to find out that my business partner had an addiction. Now, I didn't know he had an addiction, but it became very clear to me while I was gone for 4 months, because the people that I hired specifically to help me operate the business while I was gone, they all quit after a couple of weeks, one of them being my own brother, who flat out told me, hey, man, your business partner's got a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? He's like, he likes to put things in his nose. I'm like, what do you mean he likes to put things in his nose? Drugs, dummy, drugs. Oh, yeah. My business partner had a cocaine problem, which turned into a crack cocaine problem, which turned into him stealing from the business while I was gone because I wasn't there to prevent it. And he was sending me falsified reports, business reports while I was gone. So I had no idea that any of this was going on until I returned 4 months later, only to find that the business that I had worked so darn hard to build up from nothing to at least being somewhat successful had been imploded by my drug-addicted business partner who liked to put things in his nose. I lost the business, and I lost the money that I put into the business. And not all the money that I put into the business was my money. Some of it came from my family who believed in me, who ultimately I wound up having to pay back without having a job. It was difficult. So what did I do next? Did I petition for active duty? Nope. I was still part-time as a soldier. Thought, you know what I would do? Maybe I'd get involved with real estate. Everybody in my family was telling me, hey, real estate's the way to go. So I studied a little bit about real estate, but I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out how you make money in real estate. There was nobody that could share with me the fundamentals of how to do real estate. So even though I wanted to do real estate, I didn't really know how to do real estate. But I did real estate anyhow. While I entered into another job, which was a self-employed job that I did for, I don't know, about 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, until I had a conundrum when I realized that as my time as a part-time soldier was going away, I was realizing that that was the one thing I was actually really good at, that going and being a soldier 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer, I was actually exceptional at, and maybe I'd missed my calling. So an opportunity came along as I was in my 6-year mark, about the time when I'm deciding whether I'm going to stay or go with the United States military. I decided to take an offer to go on active duty. So I went on active duty and I found my calling. And I immediately changed my retirement plan from doing nothing to working on a pension. And all I had to do was serve for the next 20 years to earn my right to earn a pension. So you know what I did? I hunkered down, put my nose to the grindstone, and I went to work full-time on active duty with the United States Army, and I didn't look back. And I got to a place in 2014 when the Army selected me for retirement. Even though they had selected me for promotion, they decided it was my time to go, and they retired me. In 2014, I retired with a pension. That was my retirement plan. I actually achieved the thing that I wanted to achieve as part of my retirement plan. And I still earn that pension today. But there was a massive problem. The problem was there wasn't enough money coming in from the pension to sustain the household expenses that I had grown accustomed to paying. And even though I tried to dwindle down some of those expenses, I couldn't eliminate all of those expenses. There was a minimum cost to living that I had to endure. I was dealing with an income problem. Yeah, I went back to work and I got a job. See, when I'm trading time for money, I'm giving my employer my all. That's what they expect. That's what I give. And you know what they take? Everything. But the problem is specifically the trading time for money problem. The fact that I physically have to be someplace doing my job for somebody else, and that has to be the focus of my attention. They get the bulk of my waking hours doing what they want me to do for them. And that's what I do. But there's a problem. In retirement, you don't do that sort of stuff. So was I retired? I mean, after all, the Army says I was retired. No, I wasn't retired at all. Physically retired is not financially retired. Sometimes it is. But in my case, it wasn't. Had to go back to work. My retirement dreams? Crushed. New retirement plan? Work until the age of 70. Take maximum Social Security. The new job had a pension component to it. So I just built up a second pension. I could add it to the first pension. And I could get that Social Security insurance premium at the age of 70, provided it's even solvent when I turn 70. And that's what I live off of. Those would be my income streams. But even then, those income streams are fixed. They're finite. The only reason they go up is because the government authorizes a cost of living increase, which really doesn't even reflect what inflation actually does. It's like giving you 3 cents for every dollar that went out of your wallet. So you retire, or I would have retired, on a fixed income. But in 2017, I did something a little different. I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. After listening to the radio shows, after testing to see if there was credibility to the organization, I became a member. I was a skeptic. I thought they were just trying to reach into my wallet, take money out, and give me nothing in return, like most of those programs do. And I found the opposite. I found that I actually got something tangible for my money. I received an education unlike the education you receive in school. This education was focused on financial literacy and changing how I look at money, how I look at investment, how I look at income, and how I go about investing my money into assets that give me a better rate of return than what I'm getting in the stock market. Lifestyles Unlimited did all of that for me. Now, it's not a situation where you go, okay, I heard about Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm going to go ahead and join. Okay, I joined. Poof, I'm a multimillionaire. Doesn't work that way. Never was intended to work that way. What Lifestyles Unlimited does for you is they lay out a roadmap of how to achieve financial freedom, how to do the things that you need to do in order to achieve the lifestyle that you've always been trying to achieve. For me, that was music to my ears. Because when you try retirement, you think you're retired, only to figure out very quickly after you think you're retired, you're really not retired because you don't have enough money coming in. Did you got to go back to work? That's a swift kick in the midsection, and it hurts a lot because you start feeling like a failure. You start feeling like you've let everybody down, including yourself. But it's not true. You just made a bad decision that can be rectified. Now, let's go back to the people in the audience. The half of you that are on board with what I'm saying, okay, thumbs up from you guys. The half of you that think I'm full of hogwash, thumbs down from you guys. Do you buy groceries? Have you noticed that the people bagging your groceries tend to be a lot older than they have been in the past? Why do you think that is? Or have you gone to maybe your favorite fast food restaurant? You know, maybe the one with the golden arches? And notice part of the crew is older than you. Why do you think that is? I think there's one of two answers. Either those people are so bored that they took those jobs just to have something to do, which I don't know why you take one of those jobs just to have something to do, but I don't know. I guess there are people out there that could do that. Or their retirement plan either failed or never even got off the ground. So they're working through their golden years. They may work until their last day on this planet. They may never taste true freedom in this country because they're subservient to somebody else. See, that's the real thing that you need to understand about retirement, that it is a creating a situation in your life where you're not reliant upon anything or anybody. You have built an investment portfolio that provides you income streams and equity growth so that you can feed the machine, if you will, while you're retired. You have income coming in from your real estate holdings that pays your normal living costs while still advancing the equity gains and the assets so that you can either refinance the asset and take bolts of money out and then go and buy more assets, or you can just flat out sell the darn thing and buy more assets. And when you're buying more assets, when you're refinancing, you're buying an additional asset or more. The idea is take enough money out that you can buy at least one more asset to add to your portfolio, so therefore increasing your income streams. If you're selling, you want to buy at least two to replace the one that you sold. So you want the portfolio to grow, because every time you put an asset in that portfolio, that asset produces cash flow for you. Cash flow that doesn't have to go into a retirement account, cash flow that goes into your account. Cash flow that is protected from taxation based off of the depreciation that you're required to take from Internal Revenue Service code that says you take the depreciation, it offsets the income stream, and therefore you don't pay taxes on the income at the time you realize the income. It's pretty cool how all that works. It is a wealth building strategy that's been around for hundreds of years, thousands of years, really. But the United States of America has only been around for what? Almost 250 years? Maybe a little longer when you consider the pre-1776 period. Okay. So how long have we been around? Since what, 1600-ish? Okay. 400 years? For 400 years, people have been buying real estate, owning real estate, making great places for other people to live, and benefiting from providing that service to people that are looking for a great place to live. The Lifestyles Unlimited business model can be your business model. As a matter of fact, we call our business model the roadmap. It's just like a map that you would get that shows you how to get from point A to point B. And you'll notice that as you move from point A to point B, there's different paths that you can take. Lifestyles Unlimited is not an organization that says you must do real estate this way and this way only. It's not like that. It's about this is how real estate works. These are the best forms of real estate to buy, and these are the different approaches you can take based on where you are in the journey that will make the most sense for you. You plot your path, you follow the map, and you achieve financial freedom. That's pretty much the way it works. It's the way it worked for me, the way it can work for you too. So if you want to do what I'm doing, if you want to snap what you're doing in two, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. When you get there, click on Start Here, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.